As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Wednesday, July the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you from Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Yes, indeed, that is a typo in my opening statement. I'll have to go back and check on that. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news of sorts, hard facts, that for sure, and maybe even some workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Getting all my sound set up just right there. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call now. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014, and that is a toll charge if you're outside of the Austin, Texas area, to join us live on air or take Oracle on your mobile phone. You can also call from around America and around the world, toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. For those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. And a big shout-out to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro, 1650 AM, in Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. And if there's anybody else out there that's broadcasting this program to your local audiences on micros, AM or FM, just shout me out, and I'll get your name included in our list every morning. Again, our listener calling number remains 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. Gold ends the first half of 2009 on a loss, and it struggles this morning to revisit 940. We'll talk about that briefly. H.R. 2454, the American Clean Energy and Security Act, we're going to go in and find its roots in Agenda 21, Chapter 9, and all the way back to the Man's Role in Changing the Face of the Earth Symposium out of Princeton so long ago. Of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go to those market reports for Wednesday, July the 1st, 2009. Active trading New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading up $11.40 at $938.80. Silver was trading up 18 cents at $13.73. Platinum was trading up $9 at $1,184 an ounce. Palladium up $2, trading at $2.51. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, here's the real sad story, $926.70 for a low, $940.40 for a high. And at $938.80, we're down 1.40 or $1.40. from where we were 1 year ago. So today being the 185th day of the year, if my math is right, we find ourselves starting out the second half of 2009 in a negative position, the first negative reporting on gold for some time. So we've lost a 0.15% on your year-to-year gold investment so far today. Yeah, it wasn't the case a week ago. It probably won't be the case a week from now, but that's definitely where they set it for today. Speaking of setting the prices, the London Gold Fix, the AM Gold Fix this morning, set at 931.50, so we're considerably above that already. Moving on towards the 940 mark. We'll pick it up on the other side with the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the foreign exchange rates. Stay with us.
Hey, Hey, folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a Zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell them Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code Oracle at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
Hey folks, it's Tony Pax from the Animal Farm Radio Show, and I want to tell you about the company Totally Wicked. Totally Wicked is the leading online worldwide supplier of electronic cigarettes. An electronic cigarette, or e-cigarette, is an alternative to smoked tobacco products such as cigarettes, cigars, or pipes. It is a battery-powered device that provides inhaled doses of nicotine by delivering a vaporized liquid nicotine solution. In addition to nicotine delivery, this vapor also provides a flavor and physical sensation similar to that of inhaled tobacco smoke, even though no tobacco smoke or combustion is actually involved in its operation. Totally Wicked's products not only help a person to regulate their nicotine intake and creates a vapor resembling smoke, but it also looks like a cigarette, thereby helping the user with the psychological and physical habit of holding a regular cigarette. To find out more about the great products that Totally Wicked has to offer, please visit totallywicked-eliquid.com or email them at info@totallywicked-eliquid.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Wednesday, July the 1st of 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We're coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And again, my name is William Roberts. Looking at the market reports for this morning, we've got gold trading up $11.40 at $938.80 as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kind of the midpoint between the bids and the asks. But nevertheless, at $11.40 up, even there, we're still off $1.40 on a year-to-year gain, if you will. It's a year-to-year loss if you were purchasing in July the 1st of 2008. Right now, you'd be down $1.40. Wondering why you got involved in that, probably. But you can imagine the desire, if you will, on the part of the money masters to make sure that all of the commodities were down and down strongly against the U.S. dollar as we closed out the first half of the year. You know, they're trying desperately to paint a pretty picture for the rest of the world in confidence building. The con game continues for the United States dollar as the reserve currency of the world in the face of the BRIC nations and others calling for something better than the shtick that's been handed to them by the Federal Reserve. But nevertheless, gold was up this morning, $11.40, trading at 938.80. In the Dow, the equities, the Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday, it closed down 82 points at 8,447. The NASDAQ was off 9 points at 1,835, and the S&P was down 8 points at 919, so nobody was really spared. Crude oil this morning so far up $1.32, trading at $71.21 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index off 23 basis points, trading below 80 again at 79.89. And that rolls over into the foreign exchange rates. All of the exchanges that the foreign currencies that we have in our little basket of currencies, little Timmy's basket of currencies. Actually, it's not Timmy's basket. This is one I put together for our own audience. And, you know, I cover the Canadian dollar, the Mexican peso, and I cover those two because we are in this idea of the North American Union, of course. So this would be the little basket of currencies that we'd be looking at. And then I throw in the euro, why not, and the British pound, you might as well. They're driving the whole market. And then the Swiss franc. That's because that's where the Bank of International Settlements is located, in Switzerland. So the Canadian dollar today was up 1.31%, trading at 87 cents. The Mexican peso was up 0.64, trading at 8 cents. The euro up 0.62 at $1.41. The British pound, very small gain, the least of the day so far, 0.13%, trading at $1.65. And the Swiss franc up strongly at 0.64%, trading at 93 cents against the U.S. dollar. Last week we had an article come through the mill talking about the plunging Swiss franc. Well, we haven't seen that related at all in the marketplace. I don't know what they were talking about, but I guess it was news, so they wrote about it. In the bond market, the two-year bond trading at 1.10%, the 10-year bond at 3.59%, and the 30 at 4.38%, so that's stacking up pretty good. 1.1359, 4.38 looks pretty normal to me. Not that I know anything about it, I just look at the numbers. In the mortgage rates, the mortgage market, a lot of talk about the mortgages today on the news out there. Not doing too well getting mortgages. We're going to talk about mortgages in a moment. The 15-year mortgage running at the 4.85%, which is off the 1 month ago higher number of 489. So the 15-year mortgage is coming down. And really, if you're in the market for a mortgage, I would recommend that you examine a 15-year mortgage. So many people automatically and are allowed themselves to be knee-jerked into these 30-year mortgages. But if you just sit down and carefully do the math, I think you'll find that their best bet is a 15-year mortgage. You get your mortgage paid off in 15 years as opposed to 30. Sometimes you'll have a little higher, well, you'll almost always have a higher monthly payment, but you're not paying that enormous amount of interest over a 30-year time period. You're really, if you need to pay it off with a mortgage, it gives you a way to do it. If you're buying rental properties and you want to take 15-year mortgages, you can set up a depreciation schedule on your properties. And everything works out real tidy. Sit down with your accountant. But a 15-year mortgage is an option that a lot of people overlook. They're one that I prefer myself. All right, so having said all of that to say this, let's go into the news for today so far. Off of Reuters, Frankfurt, Germany, June the 30th, the European Central Bank gold reserves are down by 96 million euros in a week. Gold and gold receivables held by Eurozone central banks fell by 96 million euros or $136 million U.S. to 240.629 billion euros in the week ending June 26. We're talking about gold and gold receivables falling at the same time that we see a decline in the gold spot market. Again, dropping in a little further here, the net foreign exchange reserves in the euro system of central banks fell by 0.3 billion euros to 216 billion euros, the ECB said in its regular weekly consolidated financial statement. Gold holdings fell because of gold sales of gold by one eurozone central bank and sales of gold coins by two central banks, consistent with the 2004 central bank gold agreement, the ECB said. The bank's balance sheet totaled 1.997 trillion euros, up from 1.720 trillion last week. And there's more on another website. I'll just skip over that. Here's an article about what went on yesterday. Gold drops below $930 on dollar strength. I think it dropped below $930 on a lot of other reasons than that, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. This again off Reuters, Frank Tang, New York. He says gold's futures tumbled below $930 U.S. an ounce on Tuesday as a stronger U.S. dollar prompted broad-based selling across the commodities sector. And better macroeconomic sentiment could further decrease safe haven buying in the metal. Of course, we're looking at this 79.89 number here for the USDX. It doesn't look remarkably different from anything it's been looking like for some time. Although some people think that we might see a 71.18 in the USDX by October. That would be Bob Chapman's forecast, international forecaster, by the way. The USDX at 71.18 would certainly put different color lipstick on this little pig. But bullion ended the second quarter less than $10 above its first quarter close as signs of global economic stability offset demand for gold as a hedge against long-term inflation. Of course, this is more of that gold goes down stuff. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Loan modifications don't work. At least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
And we return once again in a continuing this article out of New York. Frank Tang writes for Reuters. Zachary Oxman, the managing director with California-based TrendMax Futures, said investors took profits on the last day of the quarter following a period of solid gains across the commodities group. In other words, a big sell-off yesterday. And we saw that. So all the indicators were down, commodities were down, everything was down yesterday. But again, we have to understand the desire on the part of the money masters to make everything look buoyant in the U.S. of A. And we're going to find out that that buoyancy is pretty well poorly founded. What you're going to see, says again, is a sell-off in the commodities. We saw that. Spot gold traded at 926.50 at 2:16 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, down from its previous close of 937.05. Bullion's intraday low of 922 was the lowest since June the 24th, and gold closed at 917.15 on March 31st. The precious metals reversed gains when the dollar, which has been under pressure, gained after an unexpected drop in U.S. consumer confidence data. An unexpected drop in U.S. consumer confidence data. Whatever that's supposed to mean. What's at stake on someone's confidence? You know, Tom, Dick, and Harry. Tom says to Dick, boy, I have a lot of confidence today. And Dick says, wow, that's amazing. Hey, thanks for telling me, Tom. And Tom turns around and he talks to Harry and says, boy, I'll tell you what, I was talking with Tom this morning and he's just absolutely overflowing with confidence. That gives me a lot of confidence, too. And Harry looks at his pal and he says, well, man, I'll tell you what, I respect Tom. If Tom has a lot of confidence today and you think he's right, then I'm feeling great. And this is the kind of nonsense that our economy seems to be riding upon. Tom, Dick, and Harry's confidence game, but we'll see if there's any truth in the long term to it. The precious metal again reversed gains when the dollar, which has been under pressure, gained after an unexpected drop in U.S. confidence, consumer confidence data. Obviously, in these days where everything is linked together, from crude prices to the price of gold, any change to people's view of the economy and the inflation expectations will cause a reaction, said Ole Hansen, an analyst at Standard Bank. And boy, I'll tell you what, if Ole says so, we can believe it. Investors view gold as an insurance against the falling value of their dollar-denominated portfolio. That's one of those inserts. Remember we talk about the cut, copy, and paste files? When the gold goes up, they throw in one sentence, and when gold goes down, they throw in a different one. Well, that's one of those. That's a cut, copy, and paste sentence. Doesn't mean anything, really. Just cut, copy, and paste. Matthew Turner, an analyst at the VM Group, we don't know who they are or why we would care, said that gold investors seem to be focusing more intently on long-term inflation expectations than recession fears. And I guess if Matthew finally figured that out, then maybe he started listening to alternative radio. We've only been talking about it for 8 or 9 years. Here's a quote, but there are no immediate signs of inflation anywhere for now. So investors are looking to the long term, and of course when inflation does start to go up, the price of gold will be rising well ahead of it, he said. That would be Matthew Turner again. Matthew, good old Matthew. Well, I'll tell you what, Matthew, perhaps you should have gone with me last night to the grocery. Stop by the gas station. If you don't see any signs of inflation where you are, let me know. I'll come move there. Prices are just doing nothing but going up. Have you noticed the price of beef, by the way? Here in cattle country, flyover country that we are, the price of beef at the meat counter is soaring. Of course, they're throwing together a bunch of this probably Mexican box beef in with the ground beef and all the floor sweepings that they can pick up to make hamburger. And so it's relatively inexpensive if you buy it in 10-pound lots. If you have confidence in that, I'd like to buy steak myself and grind my own ground beef, but that's just my own personal opinion and preference. But there were certainly signs of inflation in the grocery aisles yesterday. Continuing, he goes, in official gold sector news, the Royal Canadian Mint is missing about $18.8 million in Canadian dollars worth of gold and has not ruled out theft, even as it continues to try to solve the mystery, according to an official Tuesday. Of course, we've been hearing about this story for some weeks now almost. An independent review of the Mint's records found a discrepancy of 17,500 troy ounces of gold. Can you imagine trying to slip out of the Canadian Mint with 17,500 troy ounces of gold in your lunch bucket? A few ounces of a day? How long would a guy have to be employed? Well, I guess it probably didn't go out the door that way. How did they get out the door with 17,500 troy ounces of gold? I'd like to know. You wouldn't think that the Royal Canadian Mint would be that, like the local jack-in-the-box. It's probably fairly well secured. Where did that gold go? Did it have anything to do with the European Central Bank gold selling that went on this week? Somebody's going to have to come up with the gold in order to sell it, won't they? Are we seeing all the gold transferring from banking hands into private hands for some particular reason, even if it has to be done on the sly? Might be the case. And the article continues, but we'll let it go. This is towards the mortgages. This went off Bloomberg. Shabhana Chandra. I don't know why I feel like Shabhana must be a female, but Shabhana might be a man's name too. I don't know. Never traveled in East India, but it certainly sounds like an East Indian name. Shabhana Chandra. Well, boy or girl, whoever it is, writes fairly well. Mortgage applications in the U.S. fell last week by the most since February as refinancing slumped to the lowest level in 7 months. Again, mortgage applications in the U.S. fell last week by the most since February as refinancing slumped to the lowest level in 7 months. Lots of reasons why that might be occurring. But let's find out what Shabhana has to say. The Mortgage Bankers Association Index of applications to purchase a home or refinance a loan dropped 19%. 20%, let's see, that's just about the unemployment figures, isn't it? To 444.8, I don't know what these numbers mean. You know darn well it wasn't 44.8 applications, so it's some other kind of an index or indice that they use. In the week ended June 26 from 548.2 the prior week, the group's refinancing gauge declined 30%, while the index of purchases fell 4.5%. Recent gains in borrowing costs have discouraged homeowners from refinancing, and we talk about the mortgage rates each day. Today we had a drop or a decline in the 15-year mortgage rate from 489 last month to 485 this month. But we do see an increase from 523 last month to 539 this month, 5.39% in the 30-year mortgage. So there's some of that here. And this article continues, the worst is behind us, but we're a long ways off from a recovery in housing, said Mark Vittner, a senior economist at Wachovia Corp. in Charlotte, North Carolina. And if you've been listening to these articles on a regular basis, we talk about this Wachovia Corp. from time to time, often enough that I should probably go up and do a web browsing search on it, put it into Scroogle, Google Dogpile, or Web Ferret, and find out something about Wachovia and why they're always the go-to man on this issue. But the mortgage banker's refinancing gauge decreased to 1,482, the lowest reading since November from 2,116 the previous week. That is quite a drop. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
We're going into the oppression today. We've taken all the
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again, and the telephone call-in number is 866-841-1065. If you'd like to call in and weigh in on any of these topics we're going to discuss today, you're welcome to do so. The mortgage rates, again, continuing from this Bloomberg article, at the current 30-year rate, we talked about that, the current 30-year rate is 5.39% today plus points, no doubt. The monthly borrowing cost for each $100,000 of a loan would be $558, or about $62 less than the same week a year earlier when the rate was 6.33%. So if you imagine, you can buy yourself a $100,000 house and only have to pay $558 a month rent. Not too bad. Multiply that times 4, let's see, we'd come up with 2,000, that's 2,100 a month, and 12 of those, you're looking at less than $30,000 a year income, and you're living in a $100,000 house. That's not too shabby. That's not too shabby at all, $558 a month. You probably want to be renting that thing out for somewhere in the neighborhood of $800 a month or $250 a month profit potential minus your insurance and your taxes and your management fees. Doesn't look too bad as an investment right there. Anyway, might have to go talk to a broker later this afternoon and see about getting another house. The average rate on a 15-year fixed mortgage dropped to 4.81% from 4.93% the week prior. The rate on a one-year adjustable mortgage decreased to 6.52% last week from 6.54%. Real estate companies are seeing some signs the slump is letting up, even as sales remain depressed. KB Homes, the Los Angeles-based home builder that targets first-time buyers, reported a narrower second-quarter loss as the company cut expenses faster than revenue dropped. How do you do that? Cutting your expenses faster than your revenue is dropping, closing doors, shutting down offices, laying off people, not buying any new land, not buying any new lots, selling lots you haven't built on. There's lots of little different ways that you could do that and come up with a narrower second quarter loss as the company cut expenses faster than revenue dropped, but it's still a second quarter loss. I wouldn't be putting your sunglasses on quite yet there, folks, out in KB Homes in Los Angeles. You haven't seen anything yet. Wait until Los Angeles goes up in flames. Here's a quote. Although key economic indicators remain mixed, we're beginning to see signs that some negative housing market trends may be moderating. The chief executive officer, Jeffrey Mezger, said in a statement last week. The Washington-based Mortgage Bankers Association loan survey compiled every week covers about half of all U.S. retail residential mortgage originations. Anyway, that's that article. Keep your eyes on that. You know, when economies are depressed, sometimes there's an opportunity to make a shekel or two, and that might be coming into view. But I would imagine that prices are still going to continue to go down for at least a year, maybe well into 2010 before we start to see any kind of a actual bottom in the housing markets, if even then. I'd be very careful about buying property right now. I think gold and silver coins might be a better bet still yet. Here's an article. You know, we've been talking about this H.R. 2454, the American Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009. There's an article. We talk about blowback, you know, public opinion, cross currents of public opinion, revolution and counter-revolution and blowback. This out of the Rural Missourian, July 2009 issue. It took a little while for them to print this up, no doubt. It probably circulated around in the mail for a few days. It arrived in my mailbox, I don't know when, but I picked it up out of the mailbox yesterday when I went to town. On my post box, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. If you'd like to send me a letter, you're welcome to do so. Always love to hear from the listeners. This article here is by Barry Hart. Now, Barry Hart is the big cheese. He's the sliding cheese on this rural Missouri cooperative that provides electricity in this part of the country right around here. And this is his article. He says, California dreaming on climate change. As expected, this by Barry Hart, as expected, California Representative Henry Waxman moved a climate change bill out of the House Energy and Commerce Committee he chairs in May. When that happened, electric cooperative leaders examined the bill in the same way a restaurant patron would test a new dish added to the menu. It's very important. Remember, we've talked about all of these lobbyists greasing the skids for re-election for people like Roy Blunt, congressman out of the 7th District of Missouri and others. And he said they're looking at it and examining this piece of legislation the same way a restaurant patron, they're going to come and eat here, would test a new dish added to the menu. And their response? Needs work. In other words, if other words are needed, the electric cooperative leaders didn't like what they saw in this piece of legislation. Vowing to help fix problems with the bill instead of defeating it, Glenn English, the Chief Executive Officer of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, strongly expressed the concerns rural people have with this bill in a meeting with committee leaders. I wish I'd have been at that meeting. Might have had a thing or two to say myself. At the same time, he stood ready to pull the trigger on an unprecedented grassroots campaign to defeat the bill if the chairman didn't meet fairness standards called for by a broad spectrum of rural groups. Funny. Kind of slow on the trigger there with that unprecedented grassroots campaign. I didn't hear about it. Continuing here from the article, as passed, the climate change bill. See, so far we haven't even mentioned the title of the bill. No one could really look it up, but it's in the article here. But so far we're talking about the climate change bill. The climate change bill heavily favors states on the coast while penalizing the Midwest states, including Missouri, that are heavily dependent upon coal to generate electricity. At issue is the allocation of credits to meet a cap and trade program at the heart of the bill. So now we've got cap and trade and climate change discussed in this article for the listener, for the reader of this rural Missouri. It's kind of like a tabloid size jobby that they send out at the expense, obviously, of the customers. But you, if you ask for it, you can have it delivered to your mailbox, and they pay the postage and the printing and everything. I guess we pay the postage and the printing and everything for buying the electricity, but nevertheless. Continuing on here, this cap and trade would work by slowly lowering the number of permits for emitting carbon dioxide available to utilities, manufacturers, and other companies. Cap and trade would work by slowly lowering the number of permits for emitting carbon dioxide available to utilities, manufacturers, and other companies. So what they might be implying here, what Mr. Hart might be implying here, is that there's a sunset in all of this. In other words, when Barry the Usurper and Al Gore and who are the George Soros, Maurice Strong and the others, I don't know who they all are, that are standing in the wings ready to start selling these little permits. We talked about the European model of the same. Apparently there's going to be a slow lowering of the number of permits sold, if you can believe that. In other words, they're going to sell themselves out of business. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I think it's hogwash. Or at least I don't understand the plan so far. But under the plan passed by Waxman's committee, the chairman's home state, California, would receive 200% of the credits it needs to meet the new emission standards. So I guess it's to his advantage to see this happen. We'll be back. Insider trading. The plot thickens.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com. PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we are back once again, and lest we get swept away here by the writing of Barry Hart, I just have to tell you that this Rural Missouri magazine here, this publication that they put out here in Missouri to the electrical cooperative consumer, is probably the most greeny-weeny climate change propaganda piece that I have ever received on a regular basis. No doubt about their leaning here. They're professing with their lips one thing, but they're practicing with their heart something entirely different. But let's continue. He says, again, we see that Waxman, out of Representative Henry A. Waxman out of California, he is making sure that California would receive 200% of the credits, these carbon credits that it needs to meet new emission standards. But by contrast, Barry writes here, and that would be Barry Hart, not Barry the Usurper, Barry writes, by contrast, Missouri would receive only 60% of the credits it needs. Missouri utilities would have to buy additional credits on the open market at a price set by auction. Now, that price set by auction may not be accurate, as we see that that was the original intent of Barry the Usurper, or at least that's what it was, how it was portrayed in the public notice that passes for news. And that's not going to be the case the way the bill finally was truly agreed and finally passed. But then he says this. Again, this is Barry Hart. I think he's the chairman or the president or the CEO. What is he here? Let me see if I can find it quickly. I don't see it right off the bat. I think he's like the president or the chairman of the cooperative. He says, here's a quote. Guess what this will do to the price you pay for electricity? Guess what this will do to the price you pay for electricity? That's buried in the middle of the article here. That's a heads up. That's a confirmation. Here in the same week, the week following, just 3 days, 5 days from the passage of this piece of legislation out of Congress going to Senate, there's a confirmation of what many of the other pundits have been saying about the dramatic increase that electric cooperatives in the Midwest could expect to have to pay for electricity. Guess what this will do to the price you pay for electricity. Fortunately, continuing from the article here, for Waxman's bill to clear the full house, it must pass muster with several other key house committees. Well, Bubba, you had that. Including the Agriculture Committee, chaired by Representative Colin Peterson of Minnesota. I guess that opposition party didn't help. The Minnesotans didn't help. Who shares many of the concerns electric cooperatives have voiced about this bill. Now here we'd have to question whether these are concerns that have stock shares attached to them or whether there's concerns that people sitting in a room might have expressed about the bill. The ranking member of the Ag Committee is Northwest Missouri Representative Sam Graves, who had this to say of the bill, quote, a bill that has been projected to decrease farmers' average net income by 57% is a bad bill. I give that to you again. Dial that into your memory banks. A bill that has been projected to decrease farmers' average net income by 57% is a bad bill. Anybody out there in the listening audience have any clue or idea of what kind of a profit percentage or a profit margin the average farmer has on his business? Do you think that his average profit annually exceeds 57%? If it decreases the farmer's average net income by 57%, is he 20 or 30 or 40% in the hole if he continues farming? Chairman Waxman and Speaker Pelosi are not considering what is best for all Americans. Their Hollywood and San Francisco constituents will not face the hardships this bill will bring to farmers. Representative Blaine Lucktemeyer, who replaced Kenny Holsoff when Kenny Holsoff ran here in Missouri for governor and lost. But Representative Blaine Lucktemeyer, who represents Missouri's 9th congressional district, also voiced opposition to the measure. This bill will increase taxes, eliminate jobs, or drive them offshore and raise the energy costs of those hardworking farm families trying to make ends meet. And Representative Ike Skelton, hold your breath, Ike, please, permanently. And Representative Ike Skelton, 33rd degree Freemason, likes to walk around in his little red fez, no doubt, member of that order as well. Representative Ike Skelton wrote in a letter to Gasco Sage, or something like that, Gasco Sage Electric Cooperative Manager John Greenlee, that the devil is in the details on the proposed bill. Quote, as H.R. 2454 is considered, my colleagues and I will carefully review it. For those of us from rural America, it will be critical that we look after the interests of farmers and others living in small towns. It will also be important to ensure parts of the country like Missouri that rely heavily on coal-fired power plants are not given the short shrift. Now here's a little bit of reality check. On the floor of Congress, he had something slightly different to say. This off of an article by Debbie Kidd. This is what Ike Skelton had to say. The bill isn't perfect, but we need to pass it and move on. Does that sound a little bit different from what he just said in this other lengthy quotation here? I contacted his office, by the way, to get confirmation on that quotation. I also contacted Senator Kip Bond's office. Now, he's a senator. He opposed H.R. 2454 as it was presented and passed, and his office assures me that the Senate does not yet have an assigned version. There's no Senate version in the wings. We'll see about the truth of that quite soon. Kit Bond, of course, is a Republican, longtime Republican. He is like a permanent fixture in the political fabric of Missouri. Claire McCaskill, who took Jim Talent's place, beat him in re-election. She's a Democrat, our other U.S. Senator. Her office didn't give me any hope either. Talked with Russ Carnahan, another one of these Missourians that voted in favor of this, and his office said they'll send a formal letter to me as soon as possible outlining Mr. Carnahan's position on the bill and why he voted in favor of it. I gave the same drill to William Lacey Clay's office, Emmanuel Cleaver's office, and Ike Skelton's office, and so we'll see what I get in the email box and in the mailbox from this contingent of contemptuous Missourians that voted against the people in this state. In the face of a 57% decrease in farmers' net income. You can understand why Emmanuel Cleaver might not be concerned about it. He represents one of these inner city black neighborhoods and probably couldn't give a flying a window or have any minor clue of what the farming community is all about. He's more interested in the green scene. Check out his website, East, and get his newsletter, EC from DC. The real green fellow. Lots of greeniness, greeny weeny nonsense all over the homepage. Anyway, let's close this article out. Let's hope that NRECA's Glenn English succeeds in his efforts to improve this bill, using the seat at the table gained for him by millions of messages sent to Congress by electric cooperative members through the Our Energy, Our Future campaign. Glenn English had a seat at the table with millions and millions of supporters, and this bill still got onto the floor and passed. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Hey, folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a Zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days. She didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell them Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Monday, Will, that's a typographical error. Cross it out. I'm crossing it out right now. Today is Wednesday. Okay, got it. And welcome to our Wednesday. Welcome back to our Wednesday, July the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official webpage of the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Log on, bookmark it, and peruse that site today. My name is William Roberts, and we're continuing with the coverage of this HR 2454. Going into the news, and now in a moment we're going to go into Agenda 21 and find out what's really behind it. But before we go there, let's go here, back to this rural Missouri. It's a tabloid-sized newspaper, newsprint type of a job, East Staple down the middle, put out by the rural electric cooperatives here. And on the frontispiece of this particular issue, there is an article here that says, Future Leaders, Electric Cooperatives Have a Strong Commitment to Youth. And, of course, if you've been listening for any length of time whatsoever, when we talk about Agenda 21, it's always women and children and indigenous people, the youth. Yeah. And here they have a picture of U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill. And you better believe that Claire McCaskill will vote in support of H.R. 2454 in whatever version the Senate has to consider. Be amazed if she doesn't. Absolutely amazed. But here, U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill, under the caption under a photograph, answers question from Missouri's teens during the 2009 Rural Electric Youth Tour to Washington. D.C. delegates also visited Senator Kit Bond and their respective congressmen. And here we see in this group picture the preponderance of young women as opposed to young men as this rural electric youth tour was underway. And this is not at all unusual. As a matter of fact, it has become the norm. Underneath this, the Future Leaders article has another photograph, this one by Heather Berry, in which all of the faces in this Future Leaders photograph are young girls. The future leaders of the world will be women, not men, if Agenda 21 and the globalists have their way. For whatever reason, like it or dislike it, we are transitioning from men running the planet to women running the planet. It goes all the way back to Auguste Comte, the 1800s philosopher, French philosopher. One of the phrases that I recall from his writings is, man will support woman. Of course, the Saint Simonians raised woman to the level of a goddess. We see all of that happening in this century. Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi. Let's go into Agenda 21 here in this first segment, back to our text, Earth Summit Agenda 21, the United Nations Program of Action from Rio de Janeiro, that would be the Program of Action for Sustainable Development, the final text of agreements negotiated by governments at the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, or UNCED, from June the 3rd to June the 14th of 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. As we say, this, we're now 17 years advanced, 17 years and a few days, 2 weeks advanced from then. We'll find out how far we've come in those years right after this break. Stay with us.
Hey folks, it's Tony Pax from the Animal Farm Radio Show, and I want to tell you about the company Totally Wicked. Totally Wicked is the leading online worldwide supplier of electronic cigarettes. An electronic cigarette, or e-cigarette, is an alternative to smoked tobacco products such as cigarettes, cigars, or pipes. It is a battery-powered device that provides inhaled doses of nicotine by delivering a vaporized liquid nicotine solution. In addition to nicotine delivery, this vapor also provides a flavor and physical sensation similar to that of inhaled tobacco smoke, even though no tobacco smoke or combustion is actually involved in its operation. Totally Wicked's products not only help a person to regulate their nicotine intake and creates a vapor resembling smoke, but it also looks like a cigarette, thereby helping the user with the psychological and physical habit of holding a regular cigarette. To find out more about the great products that Totally Wicked has to offer, please visit totallywicked-eliquid.com or email them at info@totallywicked-eliquid.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Loan modifications don't work. At least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for mortgage fraud examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Now, if you have been paying attention to these broadcasts over the last couple of weeks or months, you'll notice that when we come back to this Agenda 21 frequently here on this broadcast, but there are 40 chapters in this book. Of course, so I like to say, if you haven't gotten a copy of it, you certainly could do so easily enough. A couple of different ways to do it. One of them, the simplest way, if you're on the internet, is to just type into your browser. It's http://, I believe, unp.un.org. What does unp.un.org stand for? That's the United Nations Publications. Out of the UnitedNations.org, the organization, the organism, the beast system, overlooking the East River in New York City. And you can ask for publication sales number E, capital E, Roman capital there, dot 93, dot capital I, dot 11. E, 93, I, 11. Have one sent out to you, 40 chapters. 294 pages, 40 chapters. We're going to look at chapter number 9. Seems to answer all the questions when you go back to the book. It's like having an instruction manual. Bucky Fuller wrote one a long time ago. Richard Buckminster Fuller wrote the operation manual for the spaceship Earth. Somehow or another, that made its way out of my library and never came back in, but I'd love to have it and reread it again. But here in Chapter 9, we find this chapter titled Protection of the Atmosphere, and each of these chapters is broken up the same way, whether they're a long chapter, as most of them are, or a short chapter, as this one is. they are always broken up in the same way. They start off with an introduction, then they go into the various program areas, P-R-O-G-R-A-M-M-E, and its subheads, and then they talk about their basis for actions and the objectives, the activities. It continues, they talk about finances, means of implementation, and the financial and cost evaluations, and they do that over and over again. But the textual matter is rather revealing. Let's start in, again, Chapter 9, Protection of the Atmosphere, Introduction 9.1. Protection of the atmosphere, our unknown writers write. There's no authorship attributed to any of this material. There are also no footnotes. You can't get any science out of this book, so don't look for it there. Protection of the atmosphere, this whole thing is entirely subjective. It is not at all objective. It's not verifiable, but it does provide clues, lots of valuable and useful clues for the researcher. Protection of the atmosphere, 9.1 here, is a broad and multidimensional endeavor involving various sectors of economic activity. Now, once you get into the rhythm, then you can start to understand and appreciate the value of what they're saying and how they're going to say it. But it takes a little bit of a few times through to get a grasp on things. But you'll find that this writing style is the same writing style that we might find here in our rural Missouri newsletter from the electrical cooperatives. And it's the same writing style that you'll find in your Ag News and in all of the various and sundry publications that come across your hands, your local newspapers. And this is the same writing style that's being used by a lot of the people that prepare the scripts for the teleprompters of all the talking heads and politicians. But protection of the atmosphere is a broad and multidimensional endeavor involving various sectors of economic activity. The options and measures described in the present chapter are recommended. Notice the key phrase there, recommended. We have to be inclusive and tolerant here. For consideration and, as appropriate, implementation, and that's what we're doing in America, is implementing Agenda 21, implementation by governments and other bodies. Governments and other bodies, now we're invoking pluralism here, all of the bugs and bunny groups, all of the watershed groups and all of that, other bodies, governments, and we could say, and extra-constitutional and non-constitutional organizations, in their efforts to protect the atmosphere. And certainly we can all agree and understand that if we don't protect the atmosphere of this little planet that we live on, that our entire heating and cooling system will go down. Largely our cooling system will go down. The air conditioner for the planet Earth will be null and void, and we'll just fry up and look just like the moon. Another one of those white things floating in space. Reminds me so much of looking in the inside of a wood stove at the ashes every time I look at the moon. The ashes of the moon. There's not certainly not any blue cheese there. Anyway, continuing, it is recognized that many of the issues discussed in this chapter are also addressed in such international agreements. We're speaking a little bit about these memos of understanding, the memorandums of understanding yesterday with Vicki Davis. Many of the issues discussed in this chapter are also addressed in such international agreements. You didn't get a chance to vote on those. I didn't get a chance to vote on those. Neither of us were sitting at the table. But they make these international agreements that then translate into local initiatives and action plans. But these international agreements, such as the 1985 Vienna Convention for the Protection of the Ozone Layer, remember that in 1985 when everybody had to trade in your old refrigerator and your old air conditioning units, and the air conditioning units in your Chevrolet and your Ford quit working quite so well as they put the different stuff in there as they got rid of the Freon because they thought it was depleting the ozone layer. Of course, we discovered that that was more junk science. The 1987 Montreal Protocol on Substances that Deplete the Ozone Layer, as amended. The 1992 United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, I want to go back to 1992 there, underline this convention, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. See, they were calling it for the last decade or so global warming, but now they've reverted back to their original phrase, which is just simply climate change, which is something that's been happening since day one on this little globe. After atmosphere was given to it, and other international, including regional instruments, get a critical word there, but you see there's a change or a transformation that we can find out more about by reading Peter F. Drucker's book, The Concept of Corporation, where he says that where there is a need or want or need, it is generally followed by the creation of an instrument, and then as the instrument transitions from an instrument into an institution, once it becomes an institution, then an automatic cycle of decay begins and the whole house of cards collapses. So you could start out with a need of something. I need a hammer. Okay, I'm going to have a hammer, and that becomes an instrument. But then you raise up your hammer to the level of an institution, and you have the International Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners, and then the whole carpentry business goes to hell in a handbasket with their hammers. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations. More secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Oh,
And we have returned once again, so let's go back into this again. I'm reading from the Chapter 9, Protection of the Atmosphere, Agenda 21, the introduction, section now 9.2, where we find it written here that they're talking about setting up these other international, including regional instruments. Of course, if we can understand that the entire planet has been divided into regions, and that the hemispheres, north and south, are included in that consideration, but it's not an absolute. And then if we can understand that the United States was divided up into regions, FEMA regions, really. Actually, you can go back before that, and we were divided into regions under the Federal Reserve Banking System, and then into the FEMA regions. This whole idea of regionalism, you know, it goes across state boundaries. It blurs the boundaries. You know, the Bible talks about don't mess with anybody's cornerstones, but these guys have been messing with cornerstones since day one around here. But then it just continues, and it talks about the, it continues, it says, in the case of activities covered by such agreements, it is understood that the recommendations contained in this chapter do not oblige any government to take measures which exceed the provisions of these legal instruments. In other words, you don't have to go the extra mile. This is all equality of outcome, not equality of opportunity. But at the same time, you don't have to feel obliged to go the extra mile here. You just need to stay within the recommendations of these legal instruments. Of course, these are not necessarily lawful, constitutional instruments. These are just simply legal instruments. We talked about that, the all-out war that's raging between legal positivism and the natural law. We're in the rise of statism. The state has arrogated into itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. This idea of legal positivism, these legal instruments, this is just one of those situations where whatever the prince or Ban Ki-moon or Kofi Annan or whichever the prince they might have elected as their global dictator, supported by a cadre of super social scientists implementing this system of regional banking across the world, this positivist world view. Whoever the grand poobah is, whatever the prince says has the force of law. It's not law, it's just legal, it's a legal instrument. And presidents actually, as Vicky pointed out yesterday, these are memorandums of understanding entered into by the Secretary of State quite often, speaking for the nation without congressional approval and just signing us on to these things. In 9.3, it continues, it is also recognized that activities may be undertaken in pursuit of the objectives of this chapter should be coordinated with social and economic development. It's always ECOSOC, you know, ECOSOC. They just turn it around so you don't recognize that that's a United Nations organism. The social and economic development, if you look in your state statutes, go up to your Secretary of State's office and pull up the statute book and look down through it, you'll find whole sections on social development and economic development. Agenda 21 is all about social and economic development. It's environmental and developmental concerns, which are corporations and businesses. But the undertaken in the pursuit of the objectives of this chapter should be coordinated with social and economic development. Now, of course, social development in this case of protection of the atmosphere, you can find examples in spades in this rural Missourian here. They've got a little section on the back. You've probably seen this disgusting stuff someplace yourself. They dedicate a whole section in the newspaper sometimes, and certainly in this booklet. They have Buddy Bear. You know Buddy Bear? Have you seen Buddy Bear yet? Just for kids, Buddy Bear. Little Buddy Bear, that Snoop and Poop bear figure that is supposed to be like a child, obviously, a young person. And little Buddy Bear goes around causing trouble to his parents as he forces his parents into compliance and implementation of Agenda 21 and the Green Agenda. That's called bottom-up management. That's grassroots organizing, organizing the grassroots in your household. Your children turned against you like little eco-Nazis peering in the closet, writing things down in their journal and sharing it with their teachers, which then become part of their permanent school record, unbeknownst to you. Again here, it says, it is also recognized that the activities that may be undertaken in pursuit of the objectives of this chapter should be coordinated with social and economic development. And of course, we see in H.R. 2454, the economic development aspects of this implementation, where we're talking about the creation of all of these jobs, all these green jobs now, and all of the businesses that will create green things. And as we've done, known in our, from our studies, that with Mikhail Gorbachev and the Proscenium out there, they basically just put a new face, and a new happy face, put a happy face on communism, and now they call it the green movement, the environmental movement, the ecologists, if you will. Eco-commies, like watermelons, very green on the outside, but red, oh, so watermelon red inside. Continuing here, it says, with a view to avoiding adverse impacts on the latter, that would be economic development, a view to avoiding adverse impacts on the latter, that would be economic development, that lets you know how deeply this philosophy truly runs, no deeper than the checkbook of those that are running the planet, the corporations, the environmental and developmental concerns, taking into full account the legitimate priority needs of developing countries for the achievement of sustained economic growth. We talked about that before. And the eradication of poverty. You know, you combine these two together and you start to see the ludicrous nature of this. Sustained economic growth, that's propping up, sustaining, propping up, continuing something that would fall on its own, sustaining economic growth, and the eradication of poverty. Neither of these are achievable, but they make for good verbiage in a text such as this. 9.4 continues, it says, in this context, particular reference is also made to Program Area A of Chapter 2 of Agenda 21, Promoting Sustainable Development Through Trade. And that's why you just can't get away from this stuff in your local area, because the Chambers of Commerce and the University Extension groups are, and your local newspapers and your television stations and your radio commentators and everybody else is promulgating this green agenda, no matter where you might find it. It's always there. In this context, particular reference is also made to Program Area A of Chapter 2, so we'd have to go back and refer to that. The present chapter includes the following four program areas. A, addressing the uncertainties, improving the scientific basis for decision-making. Addressing the uncertainties, improving the scientific basis for decision-making. Uncertainties. It's like trying to teach children about evolution or talking about global warming. One of the primary program areas is addressing the uncertainties. The things we know, there are things we don't know. There's the known knowns, there are the unknown unknowns, and so on and so forth, Donald Rumsfeld said. We'll be back right on the other side of this.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again. That call-in number is 866-841-1065. If you'd like to jump in, your calls would be welcome. Back to our Chapter 9 here, going through the basics. You talk about the next category. This present chapter includes the following four program areas. So these would be the basic programs, like when you go to a theater, they show you what the program is going to be, the various acts in the play, the great drama of life, and who the actors and stakeholders will be and all of that. The section B here is promoting sustainable development. This is what they're promoting, sustainable development. Right? Understand that. They're promoting it. This is like public relations 101. Under that title, they have the subcategories, energy development, efficiency and consumption, transportation, industrial development, terrestrial and marine resource development, and land use. And all of that's happening. You know, law of the sea treaty and all the rest of it. All of that is happening. This H.R. 2454, Senate Bill 787, all of that is happening right now. And the next category here, the next program area, is preventing stratospheric ozone depletion. Of course, they had to sweep that one under the rug when they discovered that the ozone hole closed up. Very, very, very troubling, wasn't it? Had nothing to do with Freon, but maybe it had more to do with Klingons. I don't know. And then the last one here is transboundary atmospheric pollution. In other words, stuff that drifts around in the atmosphere. the kind of things that we released when we detonated the atomic bomb, or the nuclear device, I guess would be a better way of saying it. We detonated the nuclear device in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And then all of the various and sundry others that have been detonated thereafter. This is transboundary atmospheric pollution. And there's other kinds of it out there floating around. So then it goes on and has program areas. Now, to take a sidebar here, because what we're really dealing with is the creation of a religion. It's a new religion. Ecology is a religion, not a science. But this from the Fulbright Review, a newsletter for the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences, University of Arkansas, sent to me. Received it in the mailbox yesterday. I do like to go to the post office from time to time, pick up the mail. And here, on page 5, they have a tribute to Darwin, Charles Darwin. This year marks the 150th anniversary of Charles Darwin's seminal work, The Origin of Species. Of course, that's the short title. And the 200th anniversary of his death. We should all go out and celebrate Charles Darwin's death. Now, if we could just get his ideas to pass away, we'd be in good shape. Darwin's ideas remain today fundamental guiding principles for research in many of the disciplines represented in the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences. You would think by now they would have learned their lesson. Dr. Dino has been going around teaching everybody about the specious nature of Darwin's writings. But you can't get along with Malthus and Ricardo if you don't have Darwin in the mix, and so they have to keep all of this together. But, they write, the name Darwin strikes fear in the hearts of many of our students, especially those not exposed to evolutionary theory before they arrive in our hallowed classrooms. Now, I ask you, those must be the homeschoolers. Who else could rise through the public confusion system and not arrive prepared for college, as poorly as they are, with a double extra special dose of Darwinism and evolutionary theory under their belt? Darwin's ideas, the author writes here, are not really scary. They are simple, obvious, and elegant. Well, anyway, I won't read that whole article to you. I'll just say that that goes in the bunk column. Certainly I'm not going to throw that away. I'll keep that because it makes for good radio. This makes for good radio as well. I'm going to turn away from Agenda 21 here. We've got 30 minutes left. I'm going to go to man's role in changing the face of the earth. I don't know why it is. Every day I stack all these books up. I don't ever seem to get through them all. But this from the International Symposium on Man's Role in Changing the Face of the Earth out of Princeton, New Jersey, 1955. This is from a chapter titled Limitations to Energy Use, written by Charles A. Scarlett for this symposium. And here's a little sidebar about Mr. Scarlett. Mr. Scarlett, since 1954, has been the manager of technical information services in the Public Relations Department of Stanford Research Institute, Menlo Park, California. He began his career as a junior engineer with the Mountain States Telephone and Telegraph Company in Phoenix, Arizona. In 1926, he joined the Westinghouse Electric Corporation, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as a technical editor, and for 13 years, he was managing editor of the Electrical Journal. In 1941, he established the company's major engineering publication, the Westinghouse Engineer, and was its editor for 14 years. He is the author of several technical books, including Fundamentals of Radio, I kind of like to read that one, published in 1944, Electronics for Industry, 1949, and Energy Sources, The Wealth of the World with Eugene Ayers. Very curious. Mr. Ayers comes up again, and of course, Barry the Usurper had a contributor and weatherman, hippy-dippy weatherman friend named Ayers, and then there was another Ayers that I know of, Jules Ayers, who was a logical positivist. Nevertheless, Charles Scarlett writes here, the limitations to energy use. If the title of this paper were to be taken literally, it would be a very short paper indeed. In fact, it could be reduced to one word, cost. limitations to energy use? Reduced to one word, cost. The real limitations to energy use are not the absolute amounts of the various fuels in existence, but the economics of making energy available from the sources where and when found and in forms suitable for use. Let's understand this, folks. This is a symposium. This book that I'm reading from here was donated to my library back in 2006 by a listener, and there are 1,192 pages, which I've read every single page, several times probably. This is high-level writing a long time ago. The real limitation to energy use are not the absolute amounts of the various fuels in existence, but the economics of making energy available from the sources where and when found and in forms suitable for use. It is a question of how much pains we are willing to take and how much ingenuity we can muster to the task. Ample energy, he writes, at a price. The earth is possessed of ample stores of fuel and of energy in other forms. Techniques for their capture, storage, transportation, and conversion as needed are known. If we were to lift the restriction of price, or if we were to become considerably more clever in mining, the seams of coal threading the underground strata could alone carry the burden of man's energy requirements, as well as provide a large part of his chemicals for thousands of years. The coal is there. The difficulties attendant to bringing it to the surface from great depths, from thin veins, or from badly faulted or tilted seams, or because of poor quality, reduce the net amount that will finally be recovered to a small fraction of the gross. Yet it's still there. Enough to carry all of our needs, just using coal, for thousands of years. To a much lesser extent, the same is true for petroleum and natural gas. How much of these deluxe fuels could be produced if money were no object is an open question. I'll give you another question. How much of these could be produced if we didn't use money? If money wasn't the driving force for life on the planet in the 21st century. It is also an academic one in any case. Both the practically and the technically recoverable petroleum and gas are substantially less in terms of British thermal units, or BTUs, than the solid fossil fuel that will eventually be actually surfaced. We have to be so very, very careful. We need to have our discernment antennas run all the way up. Because he is using the term here, fossil fuel. Modern science understands that that's not quite the case. All of these exceedingly deep beds of coal and all of the oil, etc., weren't caused by leaves falling during the dinosaur period. And we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Plus edible food plants that grow on earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Hey, folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell them Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
And we have returned right here once again back to this discussion, The Limitations to Energy Use by Charles Scarlett. This was published in 1951. This is a very high-level symposium. This was put together by the Wenner Gren Foundation, for anthropological research, and was held at Princeton University in June of 1955. And these papers focus viewpoints from nearly all fields of knowledge upon man's capacity to transform his physical, biological environment and upon his cumulative and irreversible alterations of the earth. In these pages, 53 contributing scholars provide important insights into a pioneer field of study. Continuing from Charles Scarlett, he says, the tonnages, I should continue, to a much lesser extent, the same is true for petroleum and natural gas. How much of these deluxe fuels could be produced if money were no object is an open discussion. It is also an academic one. In any case, both the practically and the technically recoverable petroleum and gas are substantially less in terms of British thermal units than the solid fossil fuel that will eventually be actually surfaced. So by comparison, coal is still your better bet. The tonnages of oil presently locked in shale and in tar sands are almost astronomical. Even now, the recovery of oil from shale borders on the economically feasible. We heard about the Baca shale and the tar sands up in Canada. If the allowable price could be doubled or recovery techniques improved, now what would happen if we just took the price off of it completely and allowed it to be user paid for rather than established by OPEC? And I wouldn't have to come on and talk about how crude oil is today at $71.21 a barrel. See, there's a lot more in this discussion than we usually hear about. Again, the tonnages of oil presently locked in the shale and in the tar sands are almost astronomical. Even now, the recovery of oil from shale borders on the economically feasible. If the allowable price could be doubled or recovery techniques improved, the inventory of potential oil from shale would be substantial. Virtually nothing has been done about tar sands. The deposits are extremely large. The author's words here, not mine. But the economic difficulties are also large, so much so that tar sands remain virtually unknown both in extent and as to technical feasibility of fuel recovery from them. The world also has lots of peat. However, as long as cheaper BTUs can be obtained in more convenient form, in other words, peat bogs, will not be much disturbed except for certain local uses. The new star in the fuel firmament, fissionable materials, is still of uncertain size. Remember when they created the United Nations as a thank you and a howdy, for all of his work during the world wars. Bernard Baruch was put in charge of and made head of the Atomic Energy Commission. He was the first director of that. And then they immediately proceeded to lock up the use of fissionable materials, largely because of the threat that it posed to these other forms. It would just drive them right out of business. They would be reduced to meaningless non-entities. We would use our petroleum products to make plastics and other things and not power anything. But the new star in the fuel firmament, our author wrote, fissionable materials is still of uncertain size. However, the success of discovery already attained under the incentive of a guaranteed market and artificial but moderately high price show that uranium ores will be forthcoming in much larger amounts than was believed possible 5 years ago. If we were willing to double or triple the ante for uranium ore, the quantities brought to market would rise in even greater proportion. Hundreds of spoil bank from old mining operations and many phosphate fertilizer operations, that would be the Muro building, right? The phosphate fertilizer bombs? Sure. would become uranium sources, carrying the price high enough in virtually every backyard, as well as the ocean, would become fissionable fuel sources. If you take price out of the equation, free energy is in a superabundant supply. Our Creator was not narrow-sighted or short-sighted in providing for our needs. It's just that we've got these monopoly capitalists and fascists that stand between where we are today and where we need to be in the very near future. Mr. Jesse C. Johnson, back to the article here, director of the United States Atomic Energy Commission's Division of Raw Materials, summarized the situation of the uranium reserves in 1955, which is 13 years after the creation of the United Nations, as follows. Areas of the capital F free, capital W world, the free world, now in production or under development have uranium resources in the moderate cost category, less than $12 per pound for uranium in concentrate. $12 a pound for uranium in concentrate. And with what we know about breeder reactors and things like that today, this getting rid of the extra uranium, I guess, or the extra isotopes or whatever, the spent fuel rod seems to be the biggest challenge, right? They just seem to make more and more energy all the time. Continue, though. I'm not a specialist. That may be between 1 and 2 million tons. Considering the limited amount of exploration, there are possibilities of much greater tonnage. Certainly, the economic reserves would be greatly increased if uranium cost up to $30 per pound could be considered. I wonder how much a pound of uranium would cost today in Iran at the marketplace. Of ideas. If the permissible cost is increased to $50 a pound, vast low-grade deposits such as shale and phosphate deposits would become sources of production. Available resources could then be measured in terms of many millions of tons of uranium. In the United States and Israel and England and other places in Europe have all of this atomic energy locked up, hidden away from the people. In addition to the non-renewable energy resources, some are sustained. the strength of the winds, the weight of the tides, and the temperature differences of the oceans contain, in their aggregate, great funds of energy. Since each has been tapped on occasion, we know it can be done technically. A few possible installations to function on these continuing energy sources are competitive, or close to being competitive, for special situations. If you recall our discussion yesterday with Vicki Davis, we can understand that even though these things can be deployed, they're used for special occasions rather than general use. However, the author writes, the world will become extremely desperate for BTUs before any of these will provide more than token amounts to the Energy Bank, even in 1952. When we were doing the, after we'd done this REA, the Rural Electrification Association, gone up through TVA, you know, we used to have wind chargers. That's what they were called. I have one, a wind charger on our farms producing 32 volt, I think it was, electricity to electrify houses before we had the great extension of the wires everywhere. Perhaps if we'd listened to Nikola Tesla, we wouldn't have needed the wires either. But you just can't seem to break this hurdle with the money master standing behind the curtain, holding the keys to technology and development and all of the mysteries of the universe and holding it back away from us so that we can be controlled. But dropping down a little bit further here, he says, thus, if man runs out of energy, it will not be because the various wells of energy have dried up. The limitations are those of the pains man is willing to take to draw it out and his cleverness in doing so. Don't you think it's time, my friends, that we start to take pains to become more clever and demand better answers, not only from ourselves and better solutions from ourselves, but from those ostensibly who want to stand between where we are now and where we need to be in the future? I think it's time. We'll be back again tomorrow with Vicki Davis, and until then, have a great afternoon today.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Hey folks, it's Tony Pax from the Animal Farm Radio Show, and I want to tell you about the company Totally Wicked. Totally Wicked is the leading online worldwide supplier of electronic cigarettes. An electronic cigarette, or e-cigarette, is an alternative to smoked tobacco products such as cigarettes, cigars, or pipes. It is a battery-powered device that provides inhaled doses of nicotine by delivering a vaporized liquid nicotine solution. In addition to nicotine delivery, this vapor also provides a flavor and physical sensation similar to that of inhaled tobacco smoke, even though no tobacco smoke or combustion is actually involved in its operation. Totally Wicked's products not only help a person to regulate their nicotine intake and creates a vapor resembling smoke, but it also looks like a cigarette, thereby helping the user with the psychological and physical habit of holding a regular cigarette. To find out more about the great product that Totally Wicked has to offer, please visit totallywicked-eliquid.com or email them at info@totallywicked-eliquid.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.